Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Now there is not agreement among biblical students as to the exact and precise meaning of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Some have considered them to refer to the primary steps of obedience to the gospel, the elementary principles of the gospel. Others have considered it as a reference to the Jewish system that was a prelude to Christianity, typical of the faith of Christ. There is certainly an element of truth in what is said on both sides. But it seems to me that the specification that the principles of the doctrine of Christ would lead us to believe the first rather than the second position, regardless of which position one takes. And this does not suggest that they are both right. They both cannot be right. The theme under consideration, Christian progress, is not changed. The admonition is to leave the former things, the first things, the things already past, in the sense that you press on to something more, something of greater maturity in Christ. There is the call to go on unto perfection, that is, toward completion, wholeness, fullness, maturity. The writer is urging Christian progress and Christian growth. In the context of the book of Hebrews, where some were being threatened by apostasy to go back again into Judaism, the remedy for apostasy and the need they had was progress and growth in Christ. Chapter 5 had contained a rebuke that the time had already come when they ought to have been teachers, but were still babes and not capable of receiving the meat of maturity that ought to be expected of them. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. We cannot escape being impressed with this admonition to progress. We live in an age that not only is characterized by progress in a variety of ways, but very rapid and startling progress. In the lifetime of one generation, men have gone from the horse and buggy transportation to riding to and from the moon in a rocket ship. Who can measure the marvelous advances and progress in medicine and science, electronics, agriculture? There is an ever-ceasing and persistent push for improvement and progress. To be sure, some things men might have labeled as progress are in reality regression and digression. You've heard the phrase, "You've come a long way, baby," with reference to the accepted conduct of women. And much of it is nothing more than the adoption of the sinful ways of the world. This is not progress. We might debate whether covering the farmlands with cement and asphalt is always progress. But the purpose of this lesson is to recognize the need for Christian progress and the ways of determining if we are making any. Just how would you define Christian progress? Sometimes we can get a hold on things by discovering what it is not. Christian progress is not to be confused with social progress in society. Climbing the so-called social ladder may be the ruin of people, not real progress. Improvement in social conditions might reflect Christian progress, but again, it might mean the pushing aside of the way of Christ to accommodate what men want more than what they need. Some consider the advance of freedom in drinking and dancing and adultery and such as that as social progress. They consider God's restrictions on conduct as oppressive. They confuse liberty for license. Financial progress is not necessarily Christian progress. It is a travesty against truth when men preach that coming to Christ will solve your money problems, will get you a better house, a better job, a better car. Such a materialistic come-on is offensive. Christ did not die on the cross for men to have more and more of that which perishes. Many make financial progress in sinful ways. Riches and coveting of them can damn the soul. Riches was certainly a hindrance to the rich young ruler. Jesus told him to go and sell his possessions, but loving them as he did, he went away sorrowful. And in his case, financial reverses would have been progress. The rich fool of Luke 12 allowed his riches to blind him to the needs of his soul. No, financial gain was not progress for him. It is not wise for individuals or even congregations to necessarily conclude that they are making progress that God wants just because their financial condition may have improved from a material point of view. And in our day, when there's such an emphasis upon secular education, one might mistakenly conclude that intellectual progress is Christian progress. True enough, Jesus grew in wisdom, and we consider that intellectual progress. But who would deny that there are highly educated fools who even deny the existence of God? One of the marks of a higher educational institution in our time is the atheism that it propagates on the campuses. Earthly wisdom often makes people think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, even think more highly of themselves than they do of God. Unless the will of God satisfies their own reasonings from an earthly knowledge, they reject God in favor of what they've learned in school. That is surely not Christian progress. Just here we would warn brethren that the trend toward the idea that one is unfit to preach unless he has a college education, it could be the ruin of the church. So many of these wise guys do not know the Bible. They come back from their schooling, often from seminaries and schools of denominationalists and skeptics, spewing out their newfound wisdom that offsets the truth of God. A man might well be sound and faithful even though he has attended such schools, but the possibility is that he's tinged and stained with the liberalism and modernism and skepticism poured out in such places, and that is deadly. Arbitrarily determined degrees do not make one fit for the pulpit. We better not go that path, or we shall digress rather than progress. Worldly fame and popularity may be considered progress to some. Once had an elder to advise us to abandon certain positions of truth that were offensive to some brethren, the brethren of the more liberal stripe, and he suggested that if I would, I could preach for the largest congregations in the brotherhood. That was his distorted and twisted idea of progress. Who would want to sacrifice his soul by compromising the truth just to preach in some lucrative and famous pulpit? God have pity on such people. But the rage of the age is numbers. If we can increase in numbers, some are sure to think that's Christian progress, but not necessarily so. We see some brethren doing some strange and unscriptural things just to get numbers. The gadgets and gimmicks that characterize denominations have invaded the brotherhood. Numbers seem to be the name of the game with some. If it gets numbers, some think it must be all right. Where do people get such ideas? We don't always know, but we do know that such does not come from the Scripture. Increase in numbers may indicate progress, but not necessarily at all. Well, what is Christian progress? First, let us make some general statements, and then become more specific. Christian progress is growth, growing in faith. The apostles petitioned, "Lord, increase our faith," Luke 17:5. The Bible speaks of a weak faith, Romans 14:1, a little faith, Matthew 6 and verse 30, but great faith in Matthew 8:10, obedient faith in James chapter 2. Surely the greater the faith, the greater our progress. Faith cometh by hearing and heeding the word of God in Romans 10 verse 17. Christian progress means to grow in love. We show love by obedience, John 14:15. Love is seeking the other's highest good. It reflects a denial of self in doing what is best even for our enemies. Christian progress includes growing in knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1 lists many qualities in which we are told to grow, adding them to our characters. And 2 Peter 3:18 teaches us to grow in grace and knowledge. Knowledge of the things of God does not just happen. It takes study, 2 Timothy 2:15. Christ urged men to learn of me. This is growth in knowledge. Knowledge is even more desirable than zeal, because zeal without knowledge can be deadly, Romans 10 and verse 2. There are other ways that we should grow, but let us now turn our attention to some very usable measures that will help us determine whether or not we're making Christian progress. First, the congregation. Are we teaching more people the Word of God? After all, this is the primary work of the church. Are our efforts effective? Do we relieve the needy for which we have responsibility? Are we assisting more in the spread of the gospel in other areas? Are the members spiritually stronger, living better lives, homes more stable, young people more Christ-like? What is the influence in the community of this congregation? How do we react to the congregational privileges of worship and service to others in Christian labors? What of each one individually? As the individuals go, so goes the congregation, because the congregation is composed of individuals. And while an individual is not the congregation is dependent upon individuals involved. What kind of literature do we read? What comes into our homes by way of television? How much Bible knowledge do I have, and what am I doing to expand that knowledge? Am I dependable and faithful to the worship services? Am I known for being one of good works, like Dorcas? If people around me only knew of Christ from observing my life, what sort of picture would they have of Him? If you were prosecuted for being a Christian, would there be sufficient evidence to convict you? Is my word reliable? Is my speech pure? Are my habits such that Christ would approve? Am I forgiving? Do I look for opportunities to reflect the Spirit of Christ? Who will be in heaven because of me that otherwise would not be there? Many such questions are appropriate and relevant in determining Christian progress or the lack of it. Now, we all may be prone at times to compare ourselves with others. We might pick out somebody that we know is failing, falling short, and maybe feel good in making the comparison. Why not compare yourself with the most active, knowledgeable Christian you know? Better yet, compare with the one who is the standard, Jesus Christ. There are some who've been members of the church for years, who have never pressed forward from the initial things regarding Christ. Some have not even outgrown their sinful ways. Some have made great progress, and it is evident in their lives. Some have had further to come than others, and have had a harder fight to grow than others. The devil had a stronger grip on their lives from the start, and their sins, which were many, have been forgiven, and they are growing and making real Christian progress. But we all must make progress. We're mindful here of the comparison between the publican and the Pharisee, of which we read in Luke 18. The Pharisee had every opportunity for real spiritual growth. He was surrounded by those who professed godliness, even though they did not possess it. He thought himself acceptable and prided himself in his goodness, not realizing his wickedness. But the publican knew he had a long way to go. He was humble and submissive and dependent upon God rather than on any righteousness that he could claim. But he was the one that was making real progress. He was the one that was blessed. There is such validity in the statement, "It is not altogether where you are that counts, but also the direction you are going." Sure, it matters where you are, but which of the two had you rather be? One who was strong but growing weaker, or one who was weak and growing stronger? Progress, then, is made when we are drawing nearer and nearer in Christ-likeness. Our target is heaven. Our example is God's Son. And as we draw toward Him, we can be confident that real Christian progress is our blessing. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.